You better just hope I never start to sing. Well, I broke my glasses this week, so I can still see some of you. And I hope I can read. But praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day, a beautiful rain, Lord, and all the green grass and trees and all. And the sun is shining above those clouds, those beautiful gray clouds, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for this day, and we rejoice in it. And Lord, we commit this day, this rest of this service to you right now, Lord, that your anointing would be upon the congregation as well as myself as we come together and worship you and preach the word, Father, that will again convict and challenge our lives to be who you want us to be, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, we got some people out sick. Can you believe that summertime we got people out sick? Man, what is this stuff? But anyway, we want to acknowledge Betty Miller, Doug's mom there, had broken both ankles. He is in Mercy right now. Still there. Okay. Pardon? She'll be gone for 13 weeks. 13 weeks. Okay, well, then to get even with the enemy, we'll believe for 3 weeks. And, or less. And let's see. Oh, yeah, our dear friend Eileen Force, I think she sent me a message and she was going into the hospital to have some back surgery. She's the elderly lady that she cannot hear, so she doesn't come and actually attend with us, but she's a sweet, dear sister in the Lord, and she asked that this congregation would hold her up in prayer, and we sure will do that. And anyone else that is out sick today or traveling or whatever, we just hold them up right now. And Lord, we come before you again, Lord. We ask about that your divine healing power will flow through those today, Lord, that are not with us because of illness or something that's happened to their body that they need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Let that divine healing come from your throne room, Father, that through Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. And we lift our brothers and sisters up and those that would be traveling today also, Lord. Let your mercies be upon them and the blood of Jesus Christ be over each one of them in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, why couldn't the fourth be on Monday? Oh, I didn't mean to speak out loud. I was just thinking that. But praise the Lord. A Declaration of Independence, Freedom in Christ is the title of my message today. And I thought it was interesting this morning. I was watching Fox News, and the news anchor was on the beach in California, I believe it was. And he was asking the young people, probably, I don't know, in their late teens, early 20s, whatever. And he asked him what Declaration of Independence meant and what the 4th of July meant. And none of them knew. Out of a half a dozen of them that he interviewed, he probably did more than that, but the ones that they showed, not one of them knew what the 4th of July meant. Not one of them. Had no idea. And that's scary for our nation because that is the generation that is going to be taking over. And they're not being taught in schools history and for a purpose and a reason. And people, the church, and again, I don't mean to belabor it, but the church has got to come back and get right with the Lord. In general, I'm talking. We've got to do it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, he'll hear from heaven. He didn't say the world out there, but I tell you, unless the Lord intercedes, we're in some trouble. And we need to come together and we need to pray, and then pray. We've got to do it individually as well as corporately in this church. Amen? And I know there's pastors all across the country that are calling congregations. We've got to come together and pray. We really do. It's a serious time that we're living in. America's earlier years, 56 men had signed a document written by Thomas Jefferson. when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve a political bond which they have committed with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You recognize that? 240, can you believe that? 242 years of roughly now since that was written. And declaring their freedom from the oppression of the rule of England. And how are we to use our freedom in Christ? How are we to use our freedom in Christ? Do you think the world thinks when a person gives their life to Jesus that they are free? Do you think that? Huh? That's okay. You can answer out loud. Do you think the world thinks that? No, they don't. Does the world think that our lives are about a bunch of you cannot do that rules? And there's even some Christians that believe that too. But that's exactly what they think, and that's nothing but an excuse. And the world, why would the church want to be like the world? Why? True freedom cannot exist without boundaries. Freedom and discipline have come to be regarded as a mutual exclusive, when in fact freedom is not at all the opposite, but the final reward of discipline. It is to be bought with a high price, not merely claimed. Our freedom was bought with a high price. Even those 56 men who wrote that, Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence, they paid a heavy price, a very heavy price for our freedom. The profession, and this was written by a lady by the name Elizabeth, and I forgot her last name. Her husband was a missionary, but she put, the professional skater and racehorse are free to perform as they do only because they've been subjected to countless hours of grueling work, rigidly prescribed and faithfully carried out. Men are free to soar into space because they have willingly confined themselves in a tiny capsule designed and produced by a highly trained scientist and craftsman, have meticulously followed instructions and submitted themselves to rules which others defined. So freedom's not free. It's not free. With freedom comes responsibility. Amen? We have to decide what we will do with our freedom in Christ. In our country, we've been given freedom. The problem our country is having is that we have forgotten that with freedom comes responsibility. Haven't you noticed that today on the news and what's happening in our country today? Whew. I cannot believe in San Francisco and Seattle and Portland when they show pictures of those. They look like third world countries because people think they should have everything free and no responsibilities and can do whatever they want to do. And we're seeing the result of that too. But having freedom carries responsibility in our country. The founding fathers understood that how a person uses their liberty or freedom will determine how well the nation would function. Christians have responsibility that come with our gift of freedom also. We have to decide if we're going to use the gift of freedom or abuse the gift. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, meaning liberty from the law to live a holy life. And then only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, meaning even though we are living under grace, do not think sin is inconsequential. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. And here's the answer, the second half. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed by one another. See, if we live under the law, this will be the result. This will be the result. If love is absent, people, and fighting and quarreling will always follow the law. Always will. Is it raining out or is there a fan on here? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Did you hear that? Did you hear? I wonder if God knew something. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. And that's sad. I've seen that through my Christian walk. People who have come to the Lord and knew the freedom and tasted the goodness of God and got entangled back into the things of the world and made their faith shipwreck. Our call authorizes believers to lay claim to their freedom, and it challenges believers to use their freedom responsibly to live a holy life. Paul begins by explaining our calling. We are called to freedom and liberty. The Christian is a free man. Did you know that? The Christian is a free man. He is free from the guilt of sin because he's experienced God's forgiveness. Praise the Lord. He is free from the penalty of sin because Christ died for him on the cross. Amen. You know, whenever I witness to somebody, I tell them that. When they come up with the deal, you Christians, you can't do this and you can't do this. No, I said, I can do anything I want. I can do anything. I can say anything I want. I'm free in Christ. But the reason I don't do some of the things that can bring me into bondage is because I'm free to do that. But somebody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're bound to sin many times. They're in bondage and they can't get out of it. How many people today are drug addiction and alcohol and sexual and all the different things going on in their life because they're bound by the sin that they're living in? Where when Jesus Christ came and he saved me, he freed me from having to do and thinking I needed to do some things that brought destruction to my life. I'm free. I'm very free. I don't wake up in the morning with a hangover because I choose not to. I could if I wanted to, but I don't want to because it's so awesome to serve Jesus. I like waking up in the morning and saying, I rejoice for this is the day that the Lord has made and I'm going to be glad in it. Ooh-wee. You're getting excited. I am. I tell you. And he is, through the Holy Spirit, free from the power of sin in daily life. We're free from it. It has no control over me anymore, or you, if you're here in Christ Jesus today. You do not have to sin, and nobody can make you. You're free. Hallelujah. He is also free from the law, which demands and threats. We're free from the law, people. We're not under the bondage of the law. Christ bore the curse of the law and ended its tyranny once and for all eternity. Jesus did that. And we are called onto liberty because we are called into the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That's important there, isn't it? If ye continue. Boy, that sure throws off the eternal security doctrine. Doesn't it? Throws it right out the window. Right there. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes. Praise the Lord. Truth is Jesus Christ and him crucified, which alone is the answer to the world's problems right now. What Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's truth. And that's what the rebellion is all about right now. People rejecting the cross. They don't want to be submitted to someone that's going to be Lord of their life. But they don't realize by Jesus being Lord of our life is freedom. It's freedom. It's not bondage. We serve a mighty God, a loving God, a God full of grace, a God full of mercy, a God full of kindness, a God full of everything we need in life. And is all he says, just come to me. Come on to me and receive me. Accept my forgiveness. And all that is yours because I love you. Just think about that. And that's what you and I, even before we came to Christ, were rebelling against. I remember I did. I threatened to tear a guy's head off his shoulders if he kept telling me about Jesus. And I didn't realize that one day I'd be one of those guys threatened for doing the same thing. And I tell you what, he's an awesome God. But notice the implication and responsibility that comes with freedom. Our freedom is something that we can use for God and his kingdom, or it is something that we can abuse and use for our own selfish benefits. We can take the freedom that we have and use it as a license to turn it into legalism. Many feel that when you become a Christian, that you give up your freedom. What you give up is yours is a slavery to sin. That's what we give up when we come to Jesus, being a slavery to sin. People that are living in bondage of sin and habits that destroy them, sometimes slowly, and they don't even know it until it's too late. They don't even know it. But could that be the reason? Give up your freedom. Many Christians still live according to this world and its ways, and that is sad. They don't know the freedom, the true freedom. And I question even if they've made the commitment when they still live fully in the pattern of the world. Because Jesus said, all things have become new. All things are old and all things become new in my life. When I came to Christ, I tell you what, I noticed changes almost immediately when I gave my life to Jesus. I sensed the freedom and I sensed it as God. And God's still working on me, by the way. How many raise your hand and say, we can see that, brother? I have my accountability corner. Yeah, Ruth. That's why I'm so ruthless. The abuse of the gift of freedom. Turning our freedom into a license. Listen to this. In this book, Rebuilding Your Broken World by Gordon MacDonald states, in early 1988, Charles and Diana, Prince and Princess of Wales, and some friends took a skiing trip to Switzerland. The shocking news came one afternoon of a terrible accident caused by an avalanche in Switzerland. Oh, I just read that. I'm sorry. See these glasses. I tell you, I apologize. Whew. I'll start over. In early 1988, Charles and Diana, Prince and Princess of Wales, and some friends took a skiing trip to Switzerland. The shocking news came one afternoon of a terrible accident caused by an avalanche in which one of the prince's lifelong friends was killed and another seriously injured. It seemed sheer chance that the prince himself was not killed or hurt. How did it happen? A day or two later, the press reported that the prince's group had chosen to ski out on the slopes that were closed to the public. The avalanche warning had been posted, but they had chosen to go beyond the fence because, as one of them observed, that's where the optimum fun and excitement were found. Most likely, they found a brand of pleasure that was indeed more than attractive. But it went beyond the margins of what was wise and prudent. After the avalanche exacted its price among those who went beyond the fences. And too many are going beyond the fences today to see how close to the edge of the cliff they can get without going over. I'm different than that. I stay as far away from that cliff as I can to avoid falling over. The result of this, several broken worlds, like the prince and his party who could not stay inside the fences, all of us become curious enough at times to edge out to the fences and see what's on the other side. And perhaps we become curious to see how far we can sneak away from God and not suffer after the consequences. You know, I listened to a well-known preacher that was standing before literally tens of thousands of people here just recently. And she was making mockery of about having tattoos. And I'm not going to get into that. But I tell you what, she was making mockery of even the word and bringing people that all those thousands and thousands of people sitting there would, I believe, water down the word of God in order to be part of what the world is saying. It's okay to have tattoos. And I'm not saying it isn't or is right now. Amen? Did you hear me say that? But she was using the word of God in order to fulfill an agenda, which is a very dangerous thing to do in a time when we need to be preaching the word of God. Too many people are clamoring for freedom to do what they shouldn't do. People who spend their lives trying to satisfy with every fleshly appetite find out this phony freedom is even worse than bondage to rules. Don't allow your liberty to disintegrate into a license, people. It says in 1 Peter 2:16, as free, meaning the freedom we have in Christ Jesus is what it's talking about. As free in not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. See, there's responsibility there, isn't there? The Lord showed us right there. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There it is again, responsibility. Turning our freedom into legalism. Galatians 5, verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, remember that? That is what happens if we live under the law. Take heed that ye be not consumed one another. And that's what happens when love is absent. Paul warns of a present condition and keep on biting, which must be halted. He warned the church of that. The Galatians church, they were racked by civil war, not at least of all over the very issue of law versus grace. Personal attacks on each other were making the church look like ravenous jackals and bloodthirsty sharks. Look at the context of the letter. People were trying to force things on other people. They were trying to steal people's liberty. And we have that even today in the church too. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And there are those that would sneak into a body. And you need to be aware of it. I need to be aware of it. That's why I listen and I look. I listen and I look. If there's something that's contrary to the word of God, that somebody would not come in and try to spread whatever within the body to bring people into bondage. Because we are free in Christ. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. See, they come in subtly is when they come in. They are insistent upon the law and forsaking the cross, which always leads to bondage. We cannot live by the law, people. We live by grace. We live by grace. You know, I was guilty of that at one time, and I'm confessing this, especially as a younger Christian, when somebody would come into the church, because you're so excited Jesus saved you, and you want to be a holy man or woman of God, just like God wants us to be. And then here comes some character through the door, and he's dressed in a way that he doesn't have the suit and tie on. That isn't the way I wear a suit and tie, by the way. But I judged the person, and I thought that he should dress a certain way and shave his beard and get rid of the hat and everything else in order to be what a true Christian looks like. And that's legalism coming in, trying to live in legalism. I found out it's better to let the Holy Spirit speak to the people. Yes. Amen. As long as it lines up with the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit do the cleansing and let the Holy Spirit lead us into holiness. That's what we do. Now, if somebody comes in and is trying to demand that we have to do this and we have to do that, then you got to look at that and be very aware of it and not to bring us under bondage. You know, you've heard me talking on smoking and drinking. Do I think a Christian should smoke and drink? Absolutely not. Go ahead and do it if you want. Right? Go ahead and do it if you want. I don't think Christians should swear. Go ahead and swear if you want. You're the one that has a stand before the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white judgment if you're not saved. But you are the one that has to give an answer, and excuses won't work at that point, by the way. God reads the heart, the depth of the heart. He knows what we can and cannot do. So we have to answer to the Lord. People don't like to hear that. But see, I don't say you can't do it. You can do it. Go ahead. Just don't make anybody else do it. See, if people do not fit into our box, we will reject them sometimes. Biting and devouring one another draws up images of animals fiercely fighting with each other. It's a characteristic of legalism to tear down rather than to build up. We have to remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak." Did you hear that, people? Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. See, we need to be careful of that. If you say, well, I can handle this. I can deal with this. Yeah, you can, but what about the weaker person that God is talking about here that does not have the ability? They are a weaker person that is among us, and we're responsible for them. I'm responsible for them. How I conduct my life, what I say, what I don't do, what I do. You know, I am responsible for the person who is looking at me, the weaker person. And I can influence them and impact their life for all eternity if I use my liberty to do whatever I think is right. I got to take into consideration that weaker person. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 28 and 29. "But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. And for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Verse 29, "Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?" Why is it? See, we need to always be conscious of others, don't we? We need to be conscious of others in all that we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. "Ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Just think about that. I'm reading you, and you read me. When I'm in a restaurant, and I'm talking to somebody, they're reading me. It says right there, we're read of all men. Somebody's trying to size you up wherever you go. In sales, when I go into a place, and I'm trying to sell something, the instant I come in front of the person that I'm working with, I'm instantly, my brain is going, I'm reading that person. His mannerisms, her mannerisms, their actions, how they're receiving, accepting my presence there. I'm doing a quick analysis of them right there on the spot. I'm reading them, who I think they are. Do they have a sense of humor? Are they very serious? Are they angry? Or whatever the case may be. And even within the church, when you come into a church, you can read those who are sincere and those who are not. People can read that. And we need to be aware of that in our lives. Amen? It's not a burden to do that. It's just, if you're serving Jesus with all your heart, you're free, right? If you're living your life to the fullest for the Lord Jesus, you can just live in freedom and not worry about stuff like that. But if you're doing something and you're being convicted of it and you're trying to hide it or whatever, then maybe you need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I got to get rid of this thing." Amen? We need to do it. Because men are reading us. There are some things that because of my conscience is not right for me, but it may not be wrong for you. Did you know that? If I don't think it's good for me to go to movies, I can't say to you, you can't ever go to movies. Amen? This is not to be confused with what God had said is wrong according to his word. There are things in here that God says is wrong. So don't be confused with that. But with the liberty we have in Christ, don't hold others in contempt because they do not agree with you. Amen? So proper use of the gift of freedom, again in Galatians chapter 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In the book by Open the Door Wide to Happy Living by T. Hoffman Harris, told of a young man named Eddie who became tired of life and decided to leap from a bridge into a turbulent river. Jim, a total stranger, saw Eddie being swept downstream and plunged into the water in an effort to save him. Eddie, a good swimmer, noticed the man floundering desperately in strong current and knew that without his help he would drown. Something stirred within him. With all of his strength, Eddie swam over to the man and rescued him, saving that stranger who had attempted to save him. Brought new hope and meaning to Eddie's life. See, sometimes it takes a crisis to shock us out of poor me attitude. When shocked sufficiently, we can begin to see once again our value to God and to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 and 23. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. Amen? We serve each other's. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. For them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And see, the wrong way to use this scripture, and I've heard Christians do it, I had one guy say to me, the reason I go into bars is because of what Paul said in Galatians. Become all things to all men. So I sit down in order to relate with a guy who's drinking. I drink with him so that I can win him to Jesus. Isn't that foolishness? Because if I sit down in a bar with a glass of beer, wine, or whiskey, whatever it is, and I'm talking to somebody that their life is being destroyed by booze, and I'm telling them about Jesus, what's that make you look like? An idiot. You say Jesus is the answer? No, that isn't what Paul's talking about. You know something? I can win. I've won people that are so far intelligent above me, it's unbelievable. They use words about this long. And mine are usually about that long. But I won this one guy to the Lord. And he was so much smarter than me. But I became like him. I understood and admired his intelligence. And I related with him on his intelligence, not speaking like him, but I related to him and he could tell that. And by doing that, he was able to listen to me and receive the gospel. I can go to a baseball player, a Twins, and never meeting that person, and I can win them to Jesus Christ because I can become a baseball player in a moment. I can say to this guy, what's it feel like to get out there and take that old bat and get ready when that ball's coming in? Swing! What's that feel like? And you're going to pull them in, and pretty soon you can turn that around and share the gospel with them. I become all things to all men that I may win some. That's how you do it. You don't do what they're doing. That isn't what Paul is talking about. And we need to be aware of that. The irony of true freedom is that it is found in servitude. When Paul says serve one another, he uses a word normally employed in the context of slavery. The person who is set free from both slavery to law and slavery to self will find true freedom as the slave of Christ, an eager servant of the community of believers. See, liberty plus love equals service to others. Liberty minus love equals license, meaning slavery to sin. Though love be in bondage to one another, be a slave one to another. We serve each other's. Do the acts of a bondservant. Just think what we would if we were all willing to serve each other. Just think how the church would be. Too many people look for a church with the idea of what the church can do for them. And I meet them all the time. All the time. What can the church do for me? But maybe they should ask, what can I do for that church and the people who are part of it? You know, there's a lot of churches like ours that are remnant churches in these last days. And there's people crying about the church and everything, but where are they? And where are the people who are gifted, but they're not willing to step forward and to serve others by the gifting that God has given them? Where are they? Where are the committed people to Jesus that say they'll do one thing and then they filter away after whatever time? Where is the commitment? Where is that? Where is that in the Christian person? What can I do for the church? That's what we need to do. How can I make that church become more effective for the kingdom of God by serving my brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, it'll be a sacrifice. It's going to be a sacrifice maybe of your time, maybe of getting to the church, of whatever it is. There's a cost for freedom to do anything. But if we are living for the Lord and we look at each other and say, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to preach the gospel at Crossfire Assembly every week because I love the people out there. Because I love you first. And I know you want me to. We got to answer these people. We're in a time when we need to be committed to the Lord. Not just by words, but by action. What can the church do for me? No, what can you do for the church? What can I do for the church to serve you folks? See, this is one of the reasons for coming to church, so that we can serve each other's. One of the reasons. We grow closer as we worship together, and then we learn how we can serve each other. How can I serve you if I don't know you? Amen? How can I serve you if I don't know you, if you're not here regularly? The friendly church, loving one another, Galatians 5:14. And I'm getting close to the end, people. I know. 4th of July is coming. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The verse focuses on man's entire ethical and moral duty, but in the context of his relationship one to another. Verse 13 again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The joy of a Christian freedom is discovered to rest upon love. Just as the old law brought bondage and death, the new law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, churches need Sunday school teachers. Amen. Churches need maintenance engineers. I call them janitors from my generation. Churches need hospitality people. Churches need all kinds of things to bear one another's burdens, to help each other's out. Just think what the kingdom of God would be if God's people would be totally committed. Think about that. You know, I'm always amazed when I if I drive by a Kingdom Hall, whether it's in the metro or I'm out in another city, I'll drive by and the Kingdom Hall people are out there. And they're busy like little bees out there helping each other. They're doing yard work, they're doing painting, they're building things, they're even building churches, and it's all done by the people in the Kingdom Hall. By the people. A cult. They'll all end up in hell unless they repent of their cultish ways, but yet they are people that show they're helping everybody out, each other's. But we don't see that in the Pentecostals, in the Christian churches that much. But we need to do that, people. And I'm only saying that for encouragement to you. You know, when I preach, and again, I like to keep saying this, it's not pointed at you people specifically in the church, because we got Facebook here too. It's pointed to the church in general. Amen? I mean, one guy said to me after service about a few weeks ago, he says, well, are you done beating us up? I said, I don't beat anybody up. But I said, if you're convicted, that's your problem. That's your problem. I don't beat anybody up. I know what it's like to beat somebody up, and I didn't beat him up. And I'm not under legalism. I've never said to one person in this church, you better do this, or this is the way we do it here, or else. I've never said that to anybody. Amen? There should have been more amens than that, but I'll take the ones I heard. Don't put me on the spot. It is unfortunate most people would sum up the spirit and intention of God's laws as thou shalt not. This fosters a spirit of legalism which sees life as a minefield where we must always be careful not to step wrongly. What God would really rather see us do is rush from opportunity to opportunity, always eager to serve others in order to spread the gospel. Amen? That's what it's about, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Law builds fences around what we must not do. Love builds bridges to new places of service. That's what love does. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself solves every problem in the human relation when you think about it. Listen to Romans chapter 13, 8 through 14. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Just think, when we got to church this morning, we're closer to the coming of Jesus. We're closer. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's a great word, isn't it? Isn't that encouraging? I can receive that with freedom in my spirit, not in bondage, but to know that when I do what the Lord says, that's freedom in my life. I can walk in freedom and I can love my brothers and sisters in Christ and go out there and love the world in the sense of reaching people for Christ. If you love people because you love Christ, you will not steal from them. Amen. You will not lie about them and envy them or try in any way to hurt anyone. Love in the heart is God's substitute for laws and threats. That's important. We've got to put love in our hearts for each other's. If the enemy comes along and puts a negative thought in your mind about any of us in here, that's not from God. If we truly love our brothers and sisters in Christ and something's bothering us, then we either go to them or we say, Lord, I've got a problem here. I need your help right now to put love where there's malice or there's anything else going on that can be destructive, not only to the person I have the problem with, but I could let that poison go somewhere else too. But you got the freedom not to do that. The enemy is constantly at work trying to trip God's people up. Gentlemen, would you prepare for communion, please? So God has given us a great gift called freedom. Wouldn't you say that's the truth? God has given us freedom. We are free from guilt and the penalty of sin. We have to decide, what will we do with that freedom? Will we use it or will we abuse it? Will we use it to love, serve, build up others, or will we use it as a license to sin or destroy other people? We're living in serious times, people. I've said that earlier. People are coming unglued. Wouldn't you agree with me? They're coming unglued, and it's become a me society. A me society. Anything goes. Lawlessness in the land. Even Christians are becoming weary. Did you know that? God warned about that in the last day, that Christians are even becoming weary in their prayer life. They're becoming weary in their church attendance. They're becoming weary and they're even succumbing to doing worldly things in order, because they say, oh, Jesus still isn't come. I'm sick and tired of what's going on in the world. Might as well join them. And it's happening. There's verifications of that all around our country with pastors and lead positions that are saying they know people in their congregation that they're weary and they're giving up on Jesus. They're giving up on serving. They're giving up on a lot of things because they're weary and they're letting that freedom go by the wayside. But we don't have to. Listen to Titus chapter 2, 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking for the blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? Think about how you use your freedom in Christ. Think about that, people. We don't know how much time we got left. We don't know how much time we have left. The way each of us uses our freedom in Christ will determine what kind of a community, what kind of a church, what kind of a country that we'll have. If we use our freedom as Jesus would want us to use it, we will continue to have a great impact on our nation. And by the way, we don't look to the political world to solve the spiritual things in this country, people. Don't look to Donald Trump. Thank God he's using him. But don't look to him. Look to the Lord. The founding fathers knew that no amount of laws could restrain a person who cannot govern themselves. Freedom in Christ. Freedom. Thank God we live in a nation that we're free. And the Lord right now would have you to examine your hearts. Where is your heart? Have you been compromising your freedom in Christ, your grace? Have you been compromising? Is there things in your life that should be committed to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and repent of it and turn from it? Is there anyone in here you need to examine your heart before you take communion and get that right with the Lord? Because it tells us in Scripture, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It's important that you judge yourself. Examine your hearts. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel, people. I'm not going to quit preaching the truth. I'm not going to preach soft messages. I'm not going to do it. Not in the hour that we live. Examine your hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody serve, brother? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Out of 1 Corinthians, for I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Take your bread, please. And if you want to crush it in your fingers, feel free to do that. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And I want you to remember here too. If you're here this morning and you have a physical need in your body, you receive that healing right now from Jesus. Receive it. By his stripes you are healed. Receive that right now. Let's all partake. Jesus, thank you for what you did on Calvary's cross. We praise you for it. Thank you for taking the stripes on your body and the pain and the torture of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for what you did. And we receive it by faith. And Lord, we remember you're the one that did it. We remember you, Jesus, for what you did. And now let's all take the cup. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's all drink. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, in this hour that we live in the world, as we see your soon return approaching, every day it seems like something new is happening around the world that is giving a sign that you're soon coming. Help us to be ready in our hearts and our lives. Help us to prepare our families, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you, the mighty God. And we thank you and we praise you. Touch each home here, Lord. Everyone represented here, touch their home in the name of Jesus. Bless them financially, spiritually, mentally, and physically, Lord. Help us to be on fire for you, Lord. Help us to be totally committed to you, Lord. That when we serve others, we're serving you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Greet somebody and have some good fellowship. The Lord bless you. If you need prayer, I will be up here. We'll pray with you. And the Lord bless. Happy 4th of July. Happy freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.